Book of Leviticus, chapter 22, beginning verse 17. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, Whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblation for all his vows, and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offereth sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind, or broken, or maimed, or having a wen, or scurvy, or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised, or crushed, or broken, or cut, neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them, they shall not be accepted for you." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this tremendous book of Leviticus. Lord, oftentimes in my heart, I think one of the most difficult in the Word. And yet a book of tremendous holiness. A book that shows you as apart from all else, a book that shows your holiness and how we must approach you. Lord, tonight, speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to make application that is very real in our lives. Lord, may you be honored through that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. If you're saved tonight, you would say, God is deserving of our sacrifices. Amen? That would be something that would come out of our hearts, that God deserves whatever comes to Him that is good. Our sacrifices are that which I believe, when given rightly, is well-pleasing in His sight. For those of you here Wednesday night, you might recall that what we looked at was back in the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, we found that God said to the Jew he was to build a tabernacle there in the wilderness. And in building that tabernacle, we find that in order for that to take place, there had to be sacrifice upon the part of the people. The application we sought to make from that is, if we truly want to have that fellowship with God, that tabernacling with Him, there must be on our part a sacrifice. And that sacrifice must be very real. It must be out of our hearts. Here we find that God wants to help us understand what a true sacrifice is. And as we look here and see in these few verses, God expects nothing less than our best. God is not interested in the slipshod. God is not interested in half-heartedness. God, I believe, deserves and ought to have the best that we can give to Him. To keep the best and give God seconds is to say that God is in second place behind yourself. To withhold from God that which is His, and to keep it for self, is deplorable in the sight of God. We need to understand tonight that God is deserving. He's a wonderful God. Amen. Never do we find that God should have anything but the best. In the Old Testament, we find way back in the book of Genesis, the principle of the tithe. The tithe we find in the book of Leviticus, if you go to the very last chapter, it will tell us it is the Lord's. In other words, you might have it in your pocket, but it's not yours. And to withhold that, according to Malachi, is to be a thief and a robber. It is simply because when we do so, we're not recognizing who God is. We're seeking to keep that for ourselves. Never was that tithe designated or to be designated by the giver. Matter of fact, the tithe or any other offering, as we find here in this particular text, was not to be made with any blemish. It was unacceptable to have that which was tarnished given unto the Lord. We ought to be willing to accept that ourselves, but always to give God that which is best. Matter of fact, God says in verse number 25 that even if a stranger gives it to you to give unto God, He won't accept it because it needs to be out of your best, not His. It was to be offered, as we find if you went on down to verse number 29, as a free will offering. When you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it at your own will. It's something that comes out of our heart. Not because we have to, but because we want to. We find that when these offerings were given, that if we go back into some of the first part of the chapter, we find that the priests were to eat of them. And even they were not to save them up, for they were to trust God even to the next day. But we find here that God wants you and I to give of our best. We find that He says very explicitly, He will not accept that which is blind, that which is broken, that which is maimed. He says, if it has a wind or scurvy or scamp, He says, I won't accept those things. You're not to offer them to the Lord. God ought to have our best. Amen. God deserves our best. Amen. I'm fishing, brethren. Let's start throwing out some fish. Amen. He deserves our best. He ought to have that from you and from me. I believe the application is so easy for us to understand and to see here. And I want to share with you tonight a few things that I believe ought to be considered when we are giving God of our best. Let me start with this. I believe that God ought to have our best appearance. You know, when the priests went in to minister unto the Lord, they were to dress a certain way. Matter of fact, we find from the Word of God that the dress that they had was to cover their nakedness. Matter of fact, it was to be that which, even when they went up on a platform, their nakedness would be covered. They were to dress in a certain way that was really quite ornate, especially the high priest. And they were to take a bath and dress a certain way that they might go before the Lord. Our appearance, I believe, ought to be that which is the best we can give. Now, I know that some of you are going to say, well, I look in the mirror and I'm just not too handsome. I'm just not too pretty. But you can give the best that you have. Amen? And you and I tonight ought to do that in the matters of our appearance. I believe tonight that I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one time, I don't remember what I was doing. I believe I was working on some sewer work. How many of you guys ever done some sewer work? When you do some, you know, when you get down there, and that stuff's greasy. I mean, it's yucky. And it gets on your clothes. When I do that kind of work, mostly any kind of work, you could name me Pigpen. I have a way of just attracting these things. And I can even wear a good shirt, walk into my garage, not touch a thing, and come out and have a stain on my shirt. It jumps out at me and grabs a hold of me. And thank God for Dawn. I know it's dishwashing, but it helps with clothes. And I remember I was been working. I had on a pair of jeans. I don't know what kind of shirt I had on. Normally I wear a polo-type shirt when I'm doing that. And I was a mess. I needed some parts. And so I hop in the car. I washed off myself well enough I could get in the car. I run up to the hardware store, go up to Peoples on 29th, 30th, whatever that is. And I go into the department store. I'm looking for a plumbing part. And as I'm walking down the aisle, I hear this little kid about this tall say, "Hi, Pastor Springer. I wanted to crawl underneath one of the shelves." I thought, I'm not a representative very well of my Lord right now. I should have cleaned up a whole lot more than I did because I represent Him. Our best appearance, especially when we come before Him. I believe also, as you and I are considering what is best and giving of our best to the Master, we ought to consider that we ought to give the best of our substance when we give. There are so many stories I could tell along that line, but I believe tonight that you understand what I'm saying. You know, the tithe is the Lord's. We saw that in Leviticus. And I believe it ought to be off the top. It's not something that we take off later. Years ago, I worked for Pontiac Motors, and there were a couple of guys I worked with. One of them, I got to lead to Christ, and that was a tremendous blessing. And one of his best friends, an older fellow who had a family, he was, I say older now, now it would be younger. He was in his 30s. Aren't you glad I was thinking that way? And he's, you know, he's got some young kids at home, and he is telling me that he believes that the tithe, matter of fact, they've said, where should the tithe come from? Out of the gross or out of the net? And my feeling was always, if Uncle Sam could take it out of the gross, then my God's greater than Uncle Sam. He ought to at least have it out of the gross. Amen? That's just my feeling. And, of course, the other fellow, he says, well, I don't believe it's the gross or the net. He says, I believe that you ought to tithe after you've paid all of your bills. He says, after you paid your water bill, your heat bill, your gas bill, after you paid your rent and your car payment and your groceries. And I kind of had the feeling after he paid for all of his, you know, activities, why he's going to take and give a tithe out of that. So 10% of what's left over. And I thought to myself, give of your best to the Master. No, our best belongs to Him. Brethren, we ought to be frugal with our monies. Amen. But we can never waste it on the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate Brother Dorr this morning using the illustration he did and talking about this woman who breaks the alabaster box over the head of the Lord Jesus Christ and anoints Him, by the way, for His burial. The question was asked, why was this waste made? You can never waste it on Jesus Christ. He deserves the best of our substance. Far too often, we find something laid around. Oh, we can give that to the church. We find this or that or the other thing. I can give that to the church. I can give that to God. I've used it and I've abused it and now it's almost wore out and I can give that to God. I say thank God for whatever is given to Him, but is that giving of our best? Quite seriously. We train our children that way. We train ourselves that way. That it's okay to give God second class. Is it? Is it? The Lord said here, I don't want that which is blind. I don't want that which is broken. I don't want that which is maimed. And we ought to give of our best to the Lord. I believe also we ought to give the best of our time to the Lord. And when I think of that especially, I think of devotional time. That time that you can spend with God in prayer, that time that you can spend with Him as you're reading His Word and allowing that to soak into our hearts and our minds. The best of our time. When we're the freshest. when we're the most alert to His leadership, allowing Him to speak to our hearts. I don't know when that is for you. I know when it is for me. But we ought to give Him the best of our time. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever gone to the ER? How many have ever gone to the ER? Have you gone there? The last time I went to the ER and the doctor came in, I wanted to know, how long have you been on duty? I'm not too interested in being in hour number 23 of a 24-hour shift of a doctor. When my life is in His hands, y'all get what I'm saying? In fact, I don't know why they do that to us. I want somebody that's fresh. Let me lay here an hour till I get a doctor who's just come in. I might be in better hands. Okay? But seriously, we don't want that. Why should God get the leftovers of our time? Why is it that we watch TV all evening, we've read the newspaper, we've spoken with our family, and it's about time to go to bed and our eyes are heavy, and we decide, oh, we better read our chapter a day to keep the devil away? It sounds like he's already had a heyday. Give of our best to the Lord. I don't know when that is, but He deserves that. Amen? Give of our best unto the Master. It is our... Listen, I believe we ought to give the best of our service unto Him. Not what is left over if we have time. So often it's a matter, well, preach, I'll be there if I have time. I'll take care of that if I can get to it. Do we understand tonight that God ought to be primary? All else ought to be secondary. He ought to come first. He ought not be the one who's waiting for our service. Too often what we think of is, well, my job is I'm a secretary at such and such a place. And I teach Sunday school at church. No, your main job is you're a Sunday school teacher who has a second job as a secretary. Amen. I'm serious. Amen. I mean, serious. Is that not the way it ought to be? Give of our best to the Master. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all of thy might. God wants us to give it unto Him and give the best of our service. What we do for Christ ought to be first class. So often we get the idea that if we just do something, it's just a little bit, that doesn't make any difference. I got chastised many years ago. We had an old mimeograph machine. How many remember mimeograph machines? And this thing you would crank. Matter of fact, the mimeograph machine we have didn't produce blue ink like so many of them. It actually produced black ink on paper. So we cranked off some things with that thing, and you'd stand there and do this. Maybe we even had electric, I'm not sure. And we produced these things, and Brother Kimmel shows up. Now, bless his heart, Brother Kimmel was so shy. He would never say anything to tell you what you needed to do to improve. Not. And he looked at this thing, and he said to me, he said, listen, I can tell you something will increase your attendance by 100. My ears are way up. He said, you ought to quit printing this junk and make it look like it's halfway decent. Or not halfway, make it look decent. I thought, whoa. What was wrong with it? Well, you looked at it real close and you found that A's, a lot of times they were just a big old blob there. And you found other things that just weren't there. He said, you need to make it first class. Why? Because it's the Lord's. Now, we can't always do what some people can do, but we ought to do our best. Amen? I still refer to missionaries coming to our church and showing their slides. I haven't seen a slide projector in 10 years. Maybe it's been more. Actually, I have, because there's one in my garage and I happen to run into it about every year somewhere along the line. I don't know why it's still there.
I'm going to sell it in an antique auction one of these days. Isn't that something? Things I have owned are now antiques. Don't laugh. I'm an antique. But why in the world would we expect a missionary who can show us a PowerPoint presentation and give to us some pictures and give to us some things and not do it in a manner that is at the least comparable to the world? We have these things available to us. What teacher uses a chalkboard anymore? Not too many. To do their work. Kids love to write on chalkboards. But seriously, what are we going to do? We're going to have some colored things. We're going to have some things that appeal. And we do these things. Why should we be satisfied with mediocre? Nor should we expect somebody else to do it. We ought to be a people who want to accomplish that which is before us and do it the best we know how. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. We have throughout our buildings here rooms for teachers, for Sunday school. We have rooms for master clubs. And I'm thankful for teachers who try to make those as attractive as possible. They ought to be. You know what that says to a kid? It says to a kid, I believe my God deserves the best. I believe my God deserves the best. Matter of fact, it says to that kid, you are one of His. And I believe that that's what you ought to have. Years ago, I was a bus driver, bus captain. For 6 years, I started bus routes and drove buses and hauled kids in every week. We would pack them out. We never had 60 kids in a 9-passenger travel all like he was talking about this morning. But we would see 40, 50, 60 kids on a bus week after week. And we'd bring them in. I remember one time hearing a fellow talk about how he believed in those kids so much that he took all the seats out of the bus, an old yellow school bus. He took all the seats out of that bus and went down to the local carpet store and bought carpet and carpeted the floor of that bus and put the seats back into that bus because he wanted those kids to realize when they stepped on board, they were important. And he did things on the interior of his bus to just let them know they were important. We ought to consider those things. We're going to have VBS. We can't do it perhaps like somebody else can, but we can give it our best. We can take the tools that God has given to us and we can use them for the glory of God. We're often satisfied to just, do it half-heartedly, and God will understand. Do you find any understanding of God in this chapter? Serious. Do you find God saying, well, if you bring something that's broken or bruised or crushed, that's okay. I will accept it. No, God says I won't. God deserves our best. God deserves it. And we ought to be a people who love Him so much that we have so determined, as the song said tonight, so resolved that He's going to get our very best. You shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall you make any offering thereof in your land. He deserves our best. Now let's consider tonight something. When it came to your salvation and mine, God sent His best. For God gave His what? Only begotten Son. God sent the best there was. The best that there is. The Lord Jesus Christ. That you and I might be saved. When Jesus Christ returned to the heavens, we find that God once again sent His best. And the Holy Spirit of God, who moved upon the face of the waters in creation, who moved men of old to be inspired and to give us the Word of God, He sent Him to dwell in our hearts. And to lead us and to guide us, not into mediocrity, but into our best for Him. He deserves that, amen. He deserves the best of our appearance. He deserves the best of our time. He deserves the best of our substance. And God deserves the best of our service. Give of your best to the Master. For God gave of His best to us. If God would do that for you and me who are so imperfect, why are we so content to do it half-hearted for Him? Why are we so content with that? Interesting question. Father, tonight, move upon our hearts. Lord, we stand here tonight convicted. You have never done anything half-hearted for us. And yet so much of our life has been that way to You. Lord, we don't give You that first position. Lord, we don't give the best of our time. We don't give the best of our substance, our service. Oh God, I pray tonight that You would show us. Oh God, be very vivid in our hearts. Because You deserve it. Lord, whatever it is that You've laid before us, oh God, we might do our best. Lord Jesus, You deserve that. Work on our hearts tonight. Bring repentance and revival. Lord, bring about that which is so needed in our hearts, that You might have that wonderful place of preeminence. God, do the work in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.